I just want to give you an understanding, if I can, very quickly, of how we are caught up in a happening in God. Last night I got up, well, I got up in the middle of the night and I was thinking about what I was going to say. And I said to the Lord, I want you to speak. And the Holy Spirit said to me, can I really say what I like, do what I like? Yeah, of course, you know. Oh. And then as I sat here, the Lord said to me, I've given Meredith and Nathan a word for the church. So I thought, oh, no, what am I supposed to do with that? Am I supposed to stand up and say, have you got anything to say? You know, because sometimes people are like, this is the first time here. I hope won't be the last. But then they began. Almost immediately they began. And as I sat and listened to them, I thought, oh, now you're giving my word to them, Lord. Don't know quite how I feel about that. And then Nod stands up and does another chunk of it. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, what do you want to say? What do you want me to say? And he said, I want you to tell them that I am doing this thing. We are so caught up in a God thing. Yes. He wants a display of the children of God. He wants the bride to be put on full display, and there's a reason for that. And so the scriptures that I was going to bring was how God made man in his... I'm going to do a quick precis. God made man in his image, and we think, oh, you know, that's a triune being, body, soul, and spirit. God is three, we are three, and we move on. I don't think that was it at all. Well, it is that. But there's more than that. And I haven't got quite a handle on that yet. But somehow God made man in his image to actually carry his image. I wonder what you think Adam was like. What did Adam carry of the image of God? Because he was holy, blameless, and without accusation before he fell, was he not? He carried God. There's something about that, guys. Something about who Adam was. Then I'm going to read to you who Jesus was. This our wonderful Saviour. Thank you for Jesus, Lord. Amen. He is the exact likeness of the unseen God. The visible representation of the invisible. You love that. How you can be an exact likeness of something you can't see. Well, we can't see, but of course the heavenlies see him really clear. The exact likeness of the unseen God. And I believe, as I read through these things, that we're called to carry this image. We're called to carry this. Because Jesus carried this as a man. And God has taken everything away from us that belonged to Adam. He has cut it off at the cross. Every bit of what Adam made us heir to when he fell is gone in Christ. The last Adam, the Bible calls him. The last one, and the first of a new generation, a new man. You're a new man, Chris. You're a new creation. You don't owe Adam anything. Jesus cut it off.
Yes, he did.
He utterly cut. No, we know that. We live that. As though you're utterly cut off from Adam. As though Adam doesn't have any right to display himself in you. But Jesus lived that. He lived he didn't know Adam anything. He didn't live an Adam life that he was overcoming. Did he? He was the exact representation, not of Adam, but of God, and you're called to be the same. I believe it with all my heart. I believe we're called to be glory carriers, that we're called to stand in the righteousness of Christ so that God can release upon us everything he wants to put on display in the world. How's he going to do that? And if we are, you know, not those who can carry that. It's the picture again that Jane spoke about in the mock on Wednesday, that the weight of glory, the kabod, has to have something that can not buckle under it, because it's a great weight of glory. He created us in Christ to be that. This is who Christ is. The visible representation of the invisible God. It's who you're called to be. It's a scripture in Isaiah. It says, Zion, you bring good tidings. Get up on a high mountain and say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Well, he's invisible. How are you going to say, behold your God? What are they going to be looking at? They're going to be looking at you. And all the world does that. All the world looks at you and says, call yourself a Christian. Look at the way you act. And they know deeply, intrinsically what a Christian ought to be like. They know we ought to be loving and kind. They know we ought not to tell them lies and that we should be trustworthy and keep our word. And if we say we're going to be there on Tuesday, we will be there on Tuesday. Because God is faithful. You're supposed to be like him. They know that. They get very bent out of shape when you don't act like God. Don't they? And your nature is not the same as his. Call yourself a Christian? Did what you do? They know. And you know. That you're supposed to display him. You're supposed to say, behold your God. This sun, radiance of the glory of God, flawless expression of the nature of God, this Jesus. Flawless expression of the nature of God. Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. I love Paul. He says, I've got it written down somewhere. Where's that one, Lord? I can't remember where it says. But Paul says, you can look at me because, you know, I'm blameless and I'm holy and righteous and I acted like it amongst you. He, this is Jesus, is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being. Does Jesus say, you are the light of the world? He doesn't say you're not the light of the world. He says you are. The outraying of the divine. God has been really challenging me about that. He's been saying, I want my divine nature to outray from you. What does the Bible say? He's given us everything that pertains to life and godlikeness. Godliness. Be like me. Talk like me. Act like me. Think like me. Come on. I need an expression on the face of the earth. What do you say to Abraham? I'm going to bless you so that all the ends of the earth will be blessed by knowing me. And everything that Nathan read out, all the different things that we need to be to get rid of out of our lives because they are an expression of Adam and we don't belong to Adam anymore, they mean that the outraying of who God is gets a bit mucked up. People say, oh, she's got a mood on today. Be careful how you speak to her. Walk on eggshells. God is not like that. Don't outray that. Don't display Adam to people. Display God. He is so kind. It's God. He always keeps his word. It's God. It's an outraying of who God is on your life. And this is just the beginning. That's why he has to get us out of our Adam complex and into our understanding of who we are as children of God, that we stand in that. Oh, thank you for helping me to understand how to stand in that, to really believe it. Because I got up the next morning and I was saying, I am the righteousness of God, I am. What have I been thinking about? Well, I've been knowing that in my head, but not knowing it in my heart so that I could, thought it could be fleshed out in me, I suppose. Yeah. I know it. You're all so blooming brilliantly taught theologically, I can't teach you anything. You're great. You know it all. Live it all then. Let's live it all. God wants to make us glory carriers. What does that mean? Now, the Bible says, doesn't it, that he doesn't share his glory with another, and he doesn't. But he'll share it with the God in you. Jesus Christ in you can have the glory and outray it. And you give all Jesus all the credit. So it wasn't me, it was him. I was saying the other week, wasn't me, it was him. It isn't me, it's him. The glory comes to him. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the righteousness of God. Is that what it said? All have sinned and fallen short of God's ability to keep the law. No. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What you fall short of when you sin is the glory, because God wants you to carry the glory. He designed you for it, to be in his image, to be like him. It says Adam had a son in his image, in his likeness. Yes, he did, and we're all came down that line. Original sin. Exactly in Adam's likeness, separated. God also has lots of sons. What does it say about Jesus? He's bringing many sons to
glory.
When you sin, you fall short of the glory. When you act like a son, you're in the glory. You manifest the glory. You are an outraying of the glory of God. Ha. You're also amazing. You can change the whole world. There's enough power in this room to change the whole world.
Yeah.
Isn't there?
Yes.
Because God's in here and God's in you. You can shine out his glory. Just as Jesus did. Oh. I'm reading it again. He's the sole expression of the glory of God. This is the Amplified. The light being, the outraying of the divine. He is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature. And you're called to be the same. Don't have time to go through those scriptures, but God is looking for someone like him to marry, you know. One of my mums in the Lord wrote a hymn, and in it it says, excuse the old English, but that's where we were up to 50 years ago. Thou dost seek a bride, all pure and holy. Those who now belong to thee alone, those who give you all their heart's affection, of thyself apart, bone of thy bone. That's what Adam said, this is bone of my bone. This is the one for me. None of them. They've all got each other. They're all bone of their bone, of their bone, of their bone, of their bone. All the giraffes, they belong to each other. God doesn't like it when animals intermix, when they interbreed. Doesn't like that. Doesn't like two kinds of cloth, even. Bone of a bone. You belong with me. The bride is pure and holy, bone of his bone, looks like him, is part of him. Oh. The scripture says in Isaiah, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. I believe with all my heart that we are to carry that glory. But you have to arise and you have to shine. I was watching a theologian. Any of you seen the DVD series Facing the Canon with J. John? I recommend them. Anyway, he was talking to an Anglican theologian, very well known, I'd never heard of him. Anyway, at the end of this very interesting thing, because you know I'm interested in theology, at the end of this very interesting talk that they had, J. John said to him, if you could say one thing to the Church of Jesus Christ across the nations today, what would you say? Isn't that an interesting question you're going to send out? One message to the whole Church of Jesus Christ across the nations, what would you say? Well, I'll ask you. What would you say? This theologian said, pray. That's what I'd say. Pray. That's not bad, is it? If the whole church did that, the whole church listened. But for me, I was sitting there saying, no, no, you want to say, wake up! Yes. Awake, awake, O Zion. Clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garments of splendor. This morning, I was going to talk about the robe of righteousness. Ha ha. And the garments of splendor. Nathan spoke about the robe of righteousness. Meredith spoke about the robe of righteousness. Do you know, you can look this up, in Leviticus 16, the high priest did not go into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement in all the gear, with the breastplate, with the stones flashing and all of that. He did not. He went in pure white linen garments, with a linen sash and a linen turban on his head, white from head to toe for the atonement. And then he covered it all with blood because he had to sprinkle blood on everything, and he's going to get splattered with that, isn't he? White. Your robe of righteousness is pure white. That's what you wear before your Father in the holiest place of all, where God is present. You are clothed in the righteousness of Christ with his blood spattered all over it for redemption, the garment of salvation. But to the world, you have to put on your garment of splendor. You have to be that amazing display of God to the world. That's who we call to be. I've probably told you this before. I'm going to tell you again because I'm like that. I'll finish with this. I was speaking about the robe of splendor. Put on your awake, awake, O Zion. Clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garment of splendor. So I was going to speak about that. I was speaking over at Welling and Zion, and I took with me a garment of splendor. I didn't bring it this morning. I could have. It is a sequined jacket, a la 1980s. It sparkles. It's amazing. It truly is. And I went in because it doesn't fit me anymore, because this is not me. I want to tell you there's a thin person inside here. Anyway, in the 1980s it did fit me. Now it doesn't. So I took it in and I thought, oh, I'll find someone to wear it for me, to model it for me, who's the right size. A lady, obviously. Well, an African lady came in, very tall, very elegant, and dressed in just the right colours for the jacket. She might wear that for me. But I didn't get to talk to her about it before the sermon started. So, halfway through the sermon, I'm talking about the garment of splendour. I said to her, would you come to the front and model this jacket for me? And the lady who led the church at that time, called Rose, she's going, because she's sitting on the front row, because she knows this lady is very, very reserved, very quiet, and would never come to the front given the option. But the African lady gets up, comes to the front, puts on the garment of splendor, and the instant she puts it on, she begins to shake from head to toe, and the whole congregation is not listening to what I'm saying. They're watching her. And then she goes out. bang. Nobody to catch her. And I'm like... And then she lets out a piercing scream. So joy. Follow that. So I'm like... So, you know, a couple of people from the church come and pray for her and they pick her up and she goes and sits in the seat going... In my garment of splendor. I thought, I wonder if I'll ever get that back. Anyway, Rose tells me later that this lady's been afflicted with a demonic something since Christmas, and this was about August, September. And they'd done everything they knew to get her free. They'd prayed for her. They'd done everything. She put on the garment of splendor, and she got delivered. Bang. Gone. Gone forever. Whatever that was. It's like the Lord said, you can't have that inside the garment of splendor. That's got to go. And it did. I believe with all my heart that you're righteous. You are righteous. He was made sin who knew no sin. God made him sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Don't get out of him. Okay? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets you free from the law of sin and death. Right. Laws are, I understand, are things that work in every circumstance, in any place, at any time of day. The law of gravity is such a law. You jump off any building, any height, any place, anywhere, bang! The law of gravity will get you. But not if you're in a plane. Because the law of aerodynamics, which has got something to do with the air flowing over the wings, I have no clue, overcomes the law of gravity, doesn't it? So this huge, great, monstrous plane can come off the ground because the law of aerodynamics overcomes the law of gravity. If you stay in the plane. Mm-hmm. Get out of the plane and the law of gravity will have you like a shot, won't it? It's not gone away. It's waiting. And the law of sin and death, you can be free of as long as you stay in Christ. Stay in the law of the Spirit of life. Stay in the plane. Stay in Christ. And the law of gravity can't get you. It can't touch you. Lord, I thank you that you are absolutely determined. I'm just bowled over, Lord, by how you have just brought the word that I wanted to bring before I had a chance to stand up. You are intending for us to hear it. You have swept Meredith and Nathan up with us in this moment, Lord. We're thankful for them and bless them. Thank you that you really are determined that we should be sons of God, free of guilt and shame and condemnation, knowing that we're righteous, knowing that they're blameless, knowing that we are called to carry the glory of God and to show it to the world, because that's your design. You made us in your image to carry your glory. And Lord, I pray for this company of people because I do believe that as we come into this, as we stay in the plane and we stop messing about with gravity, we will be the most extraordinary expressions of you, Lord. Different, everyone different. And all the churches in this area, Lord, you're calling them all, and all the churches across England, and you want to pour out yourself into your bride, into your body. You are going to. And so, Lord, we say, yes, we agree with that. We want you to be seen. We want Jesus to be glorified. As the power of the Holy Spirit works in us, Jesus will be glorified. Oh, Lord, for your exceeding great renown. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.